give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory. Praise his name. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to have a refuge from this terrible world that we have to endure. We can come and be in the presence of God, where two or three are gathered together. He said he'd be here, and I'm glad to see him fulfill his word one more time. Amen. Just a little quick update here. I heard from Brother Alexander in the Philippines, in the Ivory Coast there. It's going great. The Lord's doing great things. He recorded a sermon for me. He's going to have me listen to it when he gets back, but I'm hearing good things. He is pretty tired, but that's understandable. The traveling things. So remember Brother Alexander in prayer. Brother Raja did get there. He did have to miss one flight, but he was able to pick up another one. So he was able to get up to Wisconsin. I enjoyed my time with Brother Raja tremendously. I'm glad he came. Glad it all worked out. He gave my sermon today. So the way God does things sometimes. He don't know that. Only I know that. And then this Wednesday, Brother Nathan Erickson will be here speaking for us. We don't need to put so many of these together. Usually I spread out a little better, but that's just the way it worked out. You know, Brother Raj not be playing, not really Brother Bradley either, but here we are.
Amen.
I don't need to make plans. If I'll just get in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will make the right plans. And I can just sit back and watch how smart he is compared to me. I'm a dummy head without him. I know that much. I didn't give up on trying to be smart a long time ago. Second John this morning. Second John. I'm going to start right there, first verse. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had heard from the beginning, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. John chapter 18. This is St. John. I have a few scriptures here, so. John chapter 18. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. For this then was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? John 14, real quick here, one verse, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We've got an interesting title for this. I think you're seeing a similar word there. They like to preach facts versus truth. I know. Facts versus truth. Let's bow our heads for a moment. We approach his word when you have a need for everyone and whoever forms that you'd like to lift up to the Lord. Say, Father, you know my heart. I know the Lord will provide my needs. I'm lifting up to you now. God bless each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house, Lord, and for the saints of God to be able to come together and worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. We pray that you'll just take the preeminence now, that everything from the day, everything from the week, anything from life, Lord, that's just busyness and having to do things, Lord, that'll all fade away now. Lord, and that our focus would be on you. Lord, and that we could hear from heaven, Lord, knowing that you're always speaking, Lord. It's us that are dull of hearing. We pray you forgive us. May our ears be very attentive. May our hearts be open. And when the word comes, may we just say amen, Lord, and receive it into our heart. And may it change us, Lord. Mold us. Make us into your image. Lord, may our image fade away. And may the Son of God live in every heart that's here. Heal the sick today, Lord. Save the lost. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Encourage the discouraged. And may the kingdom of Satan be thwarted in this place, we pray. Commit it to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I spent most of the week this week with Brother Raja Mantada from India. And I have not picked up an accent, but I've picked up a trend to say things slowly and to less words and things. So I'm going to try to talk English again. Try to talk like an American, all right? I ain't got nothing. I ain't got no nothing. I don't give no care, you know, American. But anywho, it was good to fellowship with our brother. And this is where I got my idea from. And it fit very, very, very nicely with where we were at in the book of John, just finishing up 1 John. I was able to go to 2 John. And God put all this stuff together, orchestrated it very well. I had plans of my own, but I'm glad that the Holy Spirit has better plans. And I come with this word from, because when I was with Brother Roger, I love spending time with him because he's not very familiar with the United States. So he had lots of observations. He had lots of questions. He had lots of preconceptions, things that he thought were true before he got here, and lots of things that he noticed while he was here, knowing that he had been at probably, I can't say, but maybe 7 or 8 different assemblies before he came here. And he watched different trends and things, and I began to pick up on this thought here of facts versus the truth. Now, lots of times people have facts for things. They have things that they can show you. They have things that they have charts for, and they have data for, and it just seems so correct. Yet when you break it down, how that data is being used is not truth. It's false. A really good example of that, we could go through is evolution. Isn't that right? They've got plenty of facts. They've got things that they can observe. Darwin saw that finches had different beaks. That was a fact. But the truth was not that they all came from the same, all the way back before, that we all came from one cell. That wasn't truth. It was just a fact.
Amen.
Science once thought they had the facts. They had the evidence. They had done the math that if you went 30 miles an hour, you wouldn't stay on Earth. You'd float right off. They had it proven. Isn't that right? But behind the facts, there was no truth to it because it's not real.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And a few things Brother Roger said, I'm not trying to embarrass him. I just think it was wonderful that he gave me this idea. But Brother Roger, he likes to drink coffee often. And he drinks coffee. Now, we drink kind of like watered-down coffee. He drinks coffee. Might as well just take the beans and put them in his mouth, I think, with how dark he likes it. He said when you stir his coffee, the spoon stays up. It doesn't sink down. It's that big. It won't. But Brother Roger, he likes a little bit of cream and a little bit of sugar in his. But he noticed that most times when he would ask for cream, they would give him dry cream. They would give him powder. They would give him non-dairy. There you go. Non-dairy, you know, dehydrated and all that. And he came to me and says, you know, brother, and we were just talking at lunch or something. Do you remember that when we talked about milk shortage? We were just sitting there talking. He's like, you know, there must be a milk shortage in America. And I said, milk shortage? And of course, my mind's like, are you kidding me? We've got more milk than what we need to do with. When everything falls apart, there's two things still in this nation. There's milk and bread.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Didn't we all go crazy for a solid week because we had an ice storm and snowstorm, and everybody needed milk and bread. And we ran the place dry, and that's just a shortage. You haven't been to the grocery store, have you? You haven't looked in my refrigerator, have you? I've got a couple gallons sitting in there right now. But what was it? He observed a fact. But he had no truth for what it was coming from. He saw, yes, I get dry creamer. That must mean that there is no liquid creamer. I said, brother, not in my house. We have liquid creamer in my house. I don't like that dry stuff. They said, well, then why do they use it? And I said, well, there's a few reasons. Why? Because I knew the truth. I didn't just have little factoids and little ideas. I had the truth behind why we use it. Some people are allergic to dairy. They don't want dairy, so they get something that doesn't have dairy but can kind of maybe taste like it. Some want their coffee to stay hot. They do not want it to get cold, so So they use powder because then it won't get hot. But me, I don't care. I want mine a little lukewarm, and I want real milk in there. That's what we have in this house, because he said, your coffee tastes very good compared to others. You're right, brother. I don't like the taste of dry creamer. It don't taste good to me. I like liquid, and that's the same with the Word of God. Don't give me no dried down, watered down, or just something that ain't got no substance to it, that's just man-made, man-handled. I don't want nothing to do with that. I want something real.
Amen.
Tastes better anyways. Isn't that right? We get out of, and you go anywhere else, you get out of America a little while, you realize most of our food is done fake.
Right.
It's made of plastic. Who knows what's in this stuff? Amen. Pray for your food. Because it might kill you one of these days if we don't. But, amen. That was one thing. Another thing I tried to explain is, you know, I believe in piety and holiness and things. I don't like to go up and just hug a woman because there's things that can be attached to that. But I'll just run up and hug a brother like it ain't nothing. I don't care. And Brother Rogers, you know, we were talking about it. And I don't know how I got on the subject, but I said, the world here does things the complete opposite. Two men come together, they won't hug. They might give you a handshake, but that's manly, you know. And if you hug each other, either you're maybe a little effeminate, they might think you're homosexual. You say, oh, brother, that makes sense now, because I could feel that people thought I was being weird. He had a fact, but he had no truth to know where it was coming from. Hallelujah. I said, you know, in the world, and if a man, you know, a woman is whatever, they hug women. But they won't hug another man. No, Christianity should be the other way. Not until we get to glory where all sin and shame is done away and jealousy and hatred and all that's been washed away can we be really brothers and sisters like we need to be. But on this side, we are in a body of flesh. We are in a body of death, a body of temptation. And that we need to be careful about men and women getting close in contact and things like that.
Amen.
That ain't saying you can't give your mom a hug when she's sad or something. And I ain't talking about that. I think you understand what I mean.
Right.
But those were a few things I noticed that he had observations. Another one, he thought when he came to America that it would be snow everywhere. Because he heard that there's snow in America. They don't know what snow is. They've never seen snow. He told me that the lowest they get, and I converted it, it's about 75 degrees.
Wow.
That's the lowest. And I said, brother, that's our hot. I'm hot today. It's 80 degrees. I am warm. You know, he was in my study when he came over and he was in there for a little while. And he said he began to shiver in my study.
I said,
my study is actually the hottest room probably in the house. It just shows you the difference. Isn't that right? It shows you what, and we have to be ever so careful about this when we take very similar things and use it with the Word of God. That's where I'm trying to take this thought. Lots of times, people will come up with their reasoning behind why they believe what they do. And they might be able to point to a few scriptures and have some facts to back up what they're saying. But when you begin to break it down and peel it apart, there's no truth to their doctrine.
Amen.
The Bible says, he that confesses with mouth that Jesus is the Lord has the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And he can't confess it unless he's received it. And most people will take that as a fact. Listen to me now. They'll take it as a fact that if I just say this, I will be saved. If there's not a conversion on the soul, you just made blank words, you will not be saved. You must have a change. You must have a death. You must have a resurrection. That's why Jesus said you cannot see the kingdom unless you're born again.
I
think we're getting somewhere now. What are you trying to hear what I'm saying today? Many people will say, well, this scripture means this, and this is usually when things go wrong, when they say, because. I don't want, the scripture can give its own interpretation. We don't need to touch it. I understand that lots of people, well, I need to line this up with that, line this up with this. I just take it. The way it's written, I don't need to add no words to it. I don't need to take none away. And last I checked, John made a big warning about doing so. So if you change one word, you're in danger of eternal damnation. God help us to not add our own thoughts, not add our own reason. Look, we might have facts to why this scripture means this and this one means that. But if it's not, how you'll know it's not truth is it will not coincide with the rest of the Word.
Amen.
Because the Word, the truth, we just read it, the truth is not a set of doctrine. It is a man.
Amen.
The truth is a man that is the only mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the truth.
David and Goliath, we all know the story, very familiar with it. If you looked at the facts, Goliath was over 9 feet tall. Goliath had fought many thousands of soldiers and defeated them effortlessly. He was a warrior from his youth. He had defied Israel, I think it was, for 40 days, and not a challenger set foot. All those facts are on the sheet, aren't that right? King Saul, a man, well, probably 7 foot tall, was shaking in his boots against this man. Another man that had been a warrior as well. But those were the facts.
Right.
And here's another set of facts for King David. Oh, he wasn't king yet, but he was potentially, because the prophet already done told him, you'll be king.
That's right.
That's right. When God says something, it will come to pass.
Right.
And David, little ruddy boy, we know he said he was handsome. Isn't that right? He was a little child-looking man. He didn't look like much of a soldier. He had never fought in battle. He had never trained in battle. But there was one thing that was different. Those are the facts. Are you understanding what I'm saying now? But the word had already said, David will be king.
Amen.
Same when Saul was chasing his life. Everything looked like David should die. He should not have a chance in the world. He doesn't have an army. He didn't have any Israelites fallen. But God had 600 prepared Gentiles that were willing to give their life for him. Why? Because the word had to come to be. Because the facts mean nothing from the truth. The truth was he was king.
Amen.
He could not die until he was sitting on the throne with the crown on his head.
Right.
And as the facts piled up, this has revolutionized my faith. It has shown me what the difference is. We do this too often.
Right.
Oh, we got facts. I'm sick today. I can feel this pain here. I feel like this. But the truth of the word said, you're already healed.
Amen.
Isn't that right? He said, I have already healed all your infirmities.
Right.
The blood's already done paid for the price of every sin, every sickness, everything that Satan ever did was already paid for.
Amen.
That's truth.
Amen.
Doctor don't give you truth. He gives you facts.
Amen.
Your blood pressure's 200 over 150. Isn't that right or whatever? You've got heart trouble. That's a good fact. But the word says that if two of us agree on any one thing, he'll do it. And you come and you get prayer and you believe together, you are not sick. You are well.
Hallelujah.
Daniel and the lions then, the facts lined up against them. A man has no power to defeat lions. Not just any lions, but lions that live in a den, purposely starving. Not to death.
Exactly.
So that way when anything gets down there, it's lunchtime.
Right.
That's the way we ought to be with the word. It don't matter when it comes, we ought to be hungry.
Amen.
We ought to be thirsty. We ought to want to eat. Isn't that right? The only thing that happens is we get solitary. We get content. We think, oh, that's all there is to it. No, sir. That's not the drive of the Christian church. That's not the drive of a born-again Christian. He is always pressing forward because God never stops moving. God is always moving forward. And if any time your experience stops, you are now backslidden because God is now in front of you. How? God could lay out time before there was such a thing. He knew how fast he needed to walk across time. He could do the math. Isn't that right? And know just a few steps every day, I'll be there right on time. I'll be right here right on time. I'll be on this appointment right on time.
Amen.
And even when Jesus was 4 days late, he was still right on time.
Amen.
Lazarus was dead in the grave. See, those are facts, aren't they? We said, the facts have it. Lazarus is gone. He's already stinking in the grave. We've already put the tomb. We've already sealed it away.
Right.
We've already paid for the tomb. Isn't that right? We've already had the ceremony. We're already in debt for all these things. It's done. Those were the facts.
Right.
But the truth was, Jesus said, I am.
Yes.
The resurrection and the life.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how long he's been dead. I am life.
Amen.
And Daniel was thrown, as we know, he was a man unashamed. He was a man who didn't care about facts. He looked for truth.
Amen.
And the word said that he should pray to the Lord every day. He went ahead and did it 3 times a day. Isn't that right? And when he heard the treaty was signed for his death, he did not change because of the facts. He held on to the truth.
Amen.
And he did it purposely.
Right.
In his heart, he knew, they're going to try to kill me for this, but my God is greater than them. And he got down. He said he opened his windows like any other day. He didn't pile the facts and say, well, God, I guess I'll just have to shut my windows and pray today. He opened it wide and he got down and thanked the God of heaven, just like he did before. See, we let the facts too many times dictate our lives instead of the truth.
Amen.
Lots of times I see this driving on the road. I believe in driving the speed limit. I don't think you run under Caesar's what is Caesar's, and Caesar has determined as long as the law of the land does not contradict God's law, we ought to follow it.
Amen.
And the speed limit tells you to go that fast. I tell you many times I think I can go faster and be just fine, but that's not for me to determine.
Amen.
That would be using facts, not truth. The truth is the law said it's 35. I ought to be going 35.
Amen.
And I've watched as I follow people. They will go and a whole section is 35. That's truth. We should be going 35 this whole time. But when you get in a little bit more congested area, they'll go 25.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it'll open up. For some reason, now we'll go 45.
Right.
Why? They're using facts. They're using their eyes to, instead of the law. The law said it's posted right there how fast we ought to be driving. But instead, we'll use the surroundings to tell me how to drive. We can do the same in our experience. Oh, we're just in just a dry time. God's just not doing anything. You know, it's just, I just can't find God nowhere. I just don't understand this. That's facts. The truth is, he said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you till the end of the world.
Amen.
That's the truth. Facts won't tell you that, but the truth will.
Amen.
Rahab the harlot, how I love the story, and the battle of Jericho. We understand that Israel was commissioned to wipe out everyone that they came in contact with. Isn't that right? And they came up to Jericho, and God gave Joshua a special commandment this time, and he sent in two spies to check it out. These two spies just happened upon Rahab's house. And the message of the hour, the word of God, just happened upon your life. That's what the facts would say, but that's not the truth. God knew Rahab's name before the foundation of the world.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And they came in there, isn't that right? And they gave her a promise. That as long as you, whoever you can get into this house and pull out this scarlet thread, which we know was a symbol for the blood of Christ, it was the token of their redemption. It was token that they would be saved, that they would be preserved, even though everything around them would be destroyed. It was the token. And it's the same for you and I. Don't trust in any merit. Don't trust in anything you've done. Trust in the blood of Jesus Christ being on your life. How do I know it's in my life? The life that came out of the blood should be in you now.
Amen.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Not some other spirit. It has to be the same spirit that was in Christ is now in you. And how do I know, Brother Andrew? It will do the same thing. Now look at this, and this goes even to the prophet. People want to quote things and apply it their way and say, well, I know he said this. You might be right. That might be a good fact, but there might not be a lick of truth behind it.
Right, true.
Seen people dictate people's lives from doing things like that. Well, we know this was said. We know the Bible said this. And before you know it, they got it all twisted up. It don't mean anything like what God intended it to mean.
Right.
What did the spies tell him? Just stay in this house. You'll be saved. Have this cord hanging out. You'll be saved. You get anybody in here you can, they will be saved with you.
Right.
That was true.
Yeah.
Absolutely it was. Right. What did they go do? What was the commandment from God? March around the walls. Remember the seventh day, march seven times and do what? Blow the trumpets and the walls will come down.
Right.
They could have used facts, couldn't those spies? And say, but wait! Rahab lives in the wall. The word of God said that we've got a contradiction.
Yeah,
are you hearing me now?
Right.
Yeah.
God said he's going to destroy the walls, but God said he'd save Rahab.
Right.
And she lives in the wall.
Right.
How can this be?
Right.
Facts without a lick of truth.
Amen.
Right.
Hope this is hitting home.
Amen.
We do this.
Yes, we do.
What is truth? pilot said. Why was that? Well, let me just finish that. What happened in Rahab's time? Rahab was in the wall, completely protected. All the wall fell but one house.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
And that woman wasn't just any woman.
No.
That was a very integral part of Christ coming to earth. Because Rahab married Salmon, and they had, I believe, Boaz. Boaz married Ruth, and you can go on to David and all the way down to Christ. Facts would say these women don't deserve to be in Christ's lineage. Rahab was a harlot.
Right.
Ruth, a Moabitess. Not allowed in the kingdom of God. Not allowed in Israel's promise.
Right.
It's a fact now. But the truth was that before the law was ever laid, the predestinated seed of God was always on God's mind, and it already had each one laid out that they would be there.
Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord.
True. Hallelujah. Noah and the ark is another great example, isn't it? Facts would say, there's no rain up and they would fall down.
Right.
It's never happened. We've observed science for 1,000 years now, and never one time has it rained. There's no need for rain. It comes out of the ground. It irrigates through air. You know, the plants get irrigated, water through irrigation and things. We don't need rain. Why would a God that's intelligent at all make it rain?
Sure.
And say that we are wicked men. We have the finest church in this town. We have the most organized, the greatest movement of God that's ever seen on the earth. Those were facts.
Right.
One little lick of truth behind.
Right.
God found one man to speak to.
Amen.
That was Noah.
Right.
And Noah built a boat. Isn't that right?
Amen.
We understand this boat had one purpose. That was to float.
Yes.
It was not to be a battleship.
No.
It wasn't to, who knows, they might have flew through there. I know most people think the Antediluvian world was stupid, but I happen to believe that if men could live 900 years old, that they were way smarter than we were. They were able to build pyramids that we cannot reconstruct today.
Amen.
They have found, or they keep, and they take it away because it contradicts everything they say about history.
Amen.
And they'll find little airplanes that if they reconstruct, they fly great. Right?
Amen.
They won't tell you that in science, will they? Why? Because it contradicts their whole theory that has facts but not a lick of truth behind
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And Noah began to build a boat, really just a big box that would float on the water. No, how are you going to get those animals on there? I don't know. The facts are I don't have enough time to go find them all.
Right.
Facts are we've got to build this thing out of slime and wood. We've got titanium. We've got nuclear power over here. Look at that thing. That thing will never be destroyed by water, even if it did flood. The facts were stacked up against Noah.
Right.
But the truth was, this was not going to be some man's boat.
Right.
Men think that they can get smart enough to outthwart God. How dumb can a man be?
Amen.
See, their perception of God is so skewed. Why? It's just based on little facts that they might be able to observe. But there's not a lick of truth to it because this God is omnipotent.
Amen.
This God is omniscient.
Amen.
No matter how smart we get, do you understand how dumb we are when you look at God's intelligence?
That's right.
We can't explain why that grass is growing right now.
Amen.
We'll say, well, it's the sun. What's making it do that? Who keeps this thing organized anyways? Who keeps this planet to where it rotates just the way it needs to?
Amen.
And stays right in orbit just where it needs to.
That's right.
And that's even after it got a flood put on.
Amen.
Sure.
We can observe this little bit here, a little bit here. And we try to figure out things of the body, but we can't explain one atom what it's really made out of.
True.
Have you ever thought, this is blowing my mind, and I hate thinking like this because I just get old. But I can't explain what anything's made out of.
Right.
You break it down. You say, well, this is atoms. Okay, what's an atom made out of? Well, protons, electrons, what's an electron made out of?
That's it.
What's that made out of?
It comes from.
I don't have a clue what this
right.
piece of paper in my hand is really made of.
Right.
A man will think, well, bless God, No, you just got little facts. You don't know the truth of anything. The real truth is God spoke it.
Amen.
It.
Hallelujah.
You can't explain faith,
yes.
or it wouldn't be faith anymore, but faith is real.
Amen.
Let me make sure I keep that. You can't explain it scientifically. You can't use facts, but you sure can use truth.
Amen.
Facts saved, you've got cancer, and it's all throughout your body, you're a dead man. The truth will say, God that created that body can destroy that sickness and make it well.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
So we get here where Pilate is talking to Jesus. We know this is right before the crucifixion. And he's questioning him on things. And Pilate sure stacked up the facts, didn't he? He says, what do you mean? Why aren't you talking? Don't you know I have power to kill you? And what was Jesus? Jesus, that was a good fact, wasn't it? Because as far as Roman law would go and as far as the system of the world, Pilate absolutely had power over Jesus'
That's
life.
Right.
But Jesus had the real truth.
Amen.
No man takes my life.
Yes.
I lay it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
You would have, he told Pilate, you'd have no power over me except it was given from you, given to you from above. You know when it says, even when Jesus died on the cross, it says he yielded up the ghost?
Yes.
That is different than what it says about other ones that have died.
That's right.
They had to give it up.
Yeah.
Because Satan was still in control of death at that time.
Yeah. Right.
He was allowed to bring death on when God would permit it. But this man was different.
Yes.
Satan couldn't take this life out of this man. He had to willingly give it up.
That's right.
And he did it in such a way that the devil never picked it up.
That's
absolutely
yes.
scriptural, because he said, if the princes of this world would have only known
yes.
who this was,
yes.
they never would have killed him.
Yes.
But they can't believe the word.
Yes.
They had the facts. This man is weak. God is strong. This man has temptations. God is not tempted. How can this man be God Almighty made flesh? How is that possible? The facts said it is impossible. But the truth was, God is God, and God can do what he wants.
Amen.
You see how stupid these facts are if you line them up to truth, that God can do whatever he wants.
Amen.
You tell me God can't make himself weak if he wanted to?
That's right.
You tell me God couldn't come and be like you and me if he really wanted to?
Amen.
You tell me God couldn't become like us to save us if he really wanted to?
Amen.
The only reason we breathe right now is because God decided I will be one of them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now he couldn't die, and I don't want to get into too much doctrine. I'm not trying to teach on that. But God could not die in the spirit form. We understand that. If God died as a spirit, there would be no life.
Amen.
Because we any sort of life, and this is where the old scoffer will say, well, if God falls for this, if God falls for that. No, God has given the ability for us to choose. He even gave the angels the ability to
That's
choose.
Right.
They had one shot at it, though. Aren't you glad we get multiple?
Amen.
People say, well, they didn't have free will. Well, they had one choice. When Satan decided, Lucifer decided he was going to turn, they had their choice right there. Will you stay with Michael and the archangel, or will you go with Lucifer?
Right.
But that was it. It was over.
Right.
Reserved in chains of darkness. See, it's not, God has allowed, everything that happens is allowed by God.
Right.
God is the creator of all things. There's no second
no.
creator, there's no,
no
sidekick. God did it all.
Amen.
And people say, well, then why did he make the devil? Look, you need to understand, the sovereignty of God is such a revelation.
True.
It will bring so much peace to your life. If you could only know that the reason Satan was here, why was Satan in the garden? He said it was very good.
Right.
The facts lined up, said God lied. As long as Adam and Eve would just stay behind the word, it would have been very good all the time. It was very good. There was nothing out of Canaan. There was nothing wrong. It didn't matter how many devils were around. That's what the millennium will be like. Do you understand that? The devil's not destroyed yet, but he can't do anything.
Hallelujah.
I think sometimes, you know, we God don't like the devil. I hope you understand that. Sometimes we think he kind of like nurtures him. No, he don't mind. Oh, you thought you had me in Abel, didn't you, devil? You thought you had me in Abraham. You thought you had me in Moses. You thought you had me when you got David. And then I let you kill me.
Right.
And it was the worst thing you could have done.
Amen.
Because not only am I going to beat you, but I've got a church that I sanctify without spot or wrinkle, and they will stomp you under their feet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm just going to throw this out there. Let's go there real quick. This might be a little controversial, but I believe the word of God.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 2. Let me make sure I find it right. Maybe it's 3. It's 3. Go to 3, verse 7. Speaking of the Philadelphian church. Hallelujah. Let's all turn there. Run to the angel. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia writes, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true."
Come on.
I'll get to there in a minute. He is the only one that's true. "He that hath the key of David, and no man openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Listen now, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, and do lie. But I will make them to come and worship before thy feet."
Amen.
Is that the scriptures or not?
Yes.
You don't mess with God's children. See, most times we say, now look, that we didn't go looking for worship. I hope you understand that. Anybody says, "Don't bow down and worship me." No, you're on the wrong side of the fence.
Amen.
This is after the judgment. He said, "I will bring these ones that cursed you. I will bring these ones that made fun of you.
Yeah.
I will bring these ones that were so possessed of the devil that they, right in the midst of my presence, they thought you were of the devil."
Right.
Jesus said that. He said, "They will even kill you thinking they're doing God a service."
Right.
He said, "I will bring them and they will bow down and worship you."
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
It's true.
Why? See, that's the difference between facts and truth. The facts, we line up the facts. No. Truth will have the real reason.
Amen.
Facts will have the wrong reason.
Amen.
Why can they worship us? Because they're not really worshiping us as men and women. Look, that man that you think is you was put away in Christ. He was killed 2,000 years ago. We reckon ourselves dead and now alive unto God in Christ. The same life of God has not. Look, there's only one source of eternal life. There's not two, there's not three. There is one. Jesus said, "Except you eat me and eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. I am the bread that came down from heaven. If you eat of me, you'll live forever. If you don't, and you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins."
Amen.
And that life, that Logos, the eternal, had attributes. It had names. And he's sitting in this room now.
Amen.
Not pre-existent, as we would say that we thought and didn't. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the life that came to us. It's the same as when I was in my Father. I didn't know I was in there. I didn't know my life was, but it was there. And it came into my mother and it produced me. And God has done the same thing. He had all the life of anyone that was eternal.
Amen.
The sons and daughters of God. And that life was put in a predestinated plan to come down when they were supposed to be here. You say, "Well, I'm only here because of an accident." No, sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And when they are forced to worship the bride of Christ, they will be worshiping Christ. Because it's the one and same life.
Yes.
Amen.
The two shall be called one.
Yes. Amen.
Genesis 5, we know most people say it's Adam and Eve. No, sir.
Right.
No, that was after the fall. Before, God said, "I will call their name Adam."
Yes. One Amen. Name.
That was truth, wasn't it? That was truth that said that, you know, what happened in the garden could not be rectified. It was too late. God had said, "The day you sin, that day you die."
Amen.
Amen.
And I believe I'm going to meet Adam and Eve.
Amen.
Right. Yes.
Hallelujah. And though the curse did have its effect in the flesh, it could not get to the soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How the devil's been thwarted so many times because he cannot look for truth, because he's not of the truth. He can't say the truth.
That's
all
it.
He can do is lie.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
But the devil still knows.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
And he can get a lot of places with that, can't
he? Yes. That's true.
He's
there
studied you. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. He knows,
yes.
He knows how to get under your skin.
Yes.
He knows how to get your wife to say that thing.
Right.
Get your children to do that thing.
Right.
Get
true.
Your co-worker to do that. Get your brother and sister to do that thing.
Amen.
And it might be a fact, but don't mean it's true yet.
Amen.
yeah, that hurts me. That's not the truth. It hurts your flesh.
Right.
Truth is, overcome it.
Amen.
You hear me now? I think we're getting somewhere now. Now I'm going to read a quote that's out of the Church Age book. Listen closely. It actually comes right from that scripture. Not even blaming it. Philadelphian Church Age. He says, now, this word true is a very wonderful word. It does not mean true in just the sense that is opposite to false. It expresses the perfect realization of an idea as contrast with its partial realization.
Come on,
truth versus facts. Facts are only part of the story.
Right.
You can't get the whole picture. And I'm going to tell you this. You might think you get it figured out. You cannot do it.
There are too many variables.
Amen.
There are too many things that are changing.
Good.
You can't explain your body right now what it's doing.
Right.
Why's your heart beating? Well, I don't know. Why's your brain warming? I don't know. Why are the atoms moving around? How come they know what to do? How come they're making my blood flow through my body? How come they know how to make my vocal cords work according to what my brain says? How does that all work? I don't know. But truth is, it works. That's what's so nice about this. This is why I hate denominational thinking and denominational ideology and being led that way. It's just man, and he cannot figure out everything.
Amen.
He can't do it. He's too limited. And God made us that way on purpose.
Amen.
So then we take all of our faith, all of our trust, and put it completely on him.
Amen.
The one that knows. The one that knows every fact he can actually give you the truth.
Sure.
A lot of times we'll judge a situation just based on a few facts, and we don't have a lick of truth behind us.
Sure, that's right.
Good.
Well, they do this because they don't like it. You know you've been there.
Right.
You might be there now, but God help you. Go ahead and let that thing go.
Amen.
I've learned more times than not, Christians don't hate one another. They just get confused.
Amen.
They take things and they get applied the wrong way, don't they? And instead of doing what the Bible said, which was go talk to that person in the spirit of meekness and love and say, look, brother, I just felt this way. I'm not saying that you did it this way. I felt this way. Was that right or wrong?
Right.
9 times out of 10, you were wrong.
Right.
Why? We base it on facts, not on truth.
Right.
See, we did not like how Brother Roger brought that out about hope and faith.
Yeah.
Hope, we use the word faith for hope too many times.
That's
well,
good.
I just stepped out on faith. No, you're stepping out on hope.
Stepping
out on faith would be, I know what I'm doing.
That's right.
I don't care what comes contrary to this. I'm stepping out in faith because God's already revealed to me, not partial realization, but a full realization that this is his will for my life.
Amen.
That's why we have to pray for revelation more than anything.
Right.
We know that the Bible is written this way. Man, when man chose the law, he was choosing to only get part of the revelation. He was choosing to only get little facts about God, but to never get a perfect realization of who this God was. You say, how can you prove that? When he came to Moses, he only could say one thing. Moses said, who do I say has sent me? He's looking for a name. He got, I am.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now that revealed a lot about God that most people don't realize yet.
Right.
He wasn't I was. He is not I will be. He is the I am.
Yes. Hallelujah.
But not in this day. Look, we have no excuse. God has perfectly revealed himself.
Yes.
He has come and said, I am Jesus.
Yes.
That's right. Now, every name comes back to the name of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say Jehovah Rapha is his name. Who's the Lord that heals you?
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ. He's Jehovah Shammah. God is my peace.
Yes.
My peace I give you.
Yes.
You say that.
Right.
The Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. The most. Do you know what every name and every knee will bow to?
Amen.
Amen.
The name. Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give a few scriptures. Just listen closely. John 6:32. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
Amen.
Partial realization. Facts. Moses sent it. Moses was given manna from heaven. Look, you know, that was all supernatural. That's all good. But I'm here to tell you, I'm the true bread.
Right.
That bread they ate, I'm sorry. You might think they'll be there, but I already done that. They didn't make it.
Right.
They ate that bread every day. It was absolutely supernatural. It was absolutely the Word made material.
Yes.
Right.
Manna fell from heaven. You know what manna means? What is it?
mean, they didn't know what it was. They just, but they ate it and it worked. Just never.
Right.
But that did that. That wasn't what God intended them just to have a little natural life.
Uh-uh.
He wasn't
right.
telling them to have clothes that didn't wear out. That was just a down payment. That was just a shadow.
Amen.
He wanted them to have a garment that would be white for all eternity.
Amen.
He wanted them to be able to eat and be satisfied. People
Amen.
Say they're still thirsty. Look, look what Jesus said. He that drinks of me shall never thirst again.
Amen.
You know why you're thirsty? You left him
Amen.
Somewhere, but he has not left you.
Amen.
So you're not thirsty. You're deceived into thinking you're thirsty. Now, I'm talking about a child of God.
Right.
You ain't converted yet. Well, yeah, you're dry, thirsty, dying. You ain't got a hope in the world.
Right. Amen.
But if you're in Christ, I'm sorry, it's a seal. There's
no
getting in and out, in and out, in and out. God don't run his program that way. If the Holy Spirit gets into your life, and I ain't just talking make you feel good one day. I mean, he takes your life, and it's turned, and it's born again of the Spirit of God, and it's no longer you that lives, but it's him that lives in you.
Amen.
Right.
You're sealed from time into eternity.
Amen.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby
you are sealed
until the day. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the truth. Isn't that what you understand? That's what the Pharisees kept doing. All their arguments were based on what I'm saying right now. They lined out the facts. Moses said this. The temple was supposed to be this. They did this, but they had no truth for what any of it was about.
Amen.
Because Moses did. How many knows that? Why did Moses make the tabernacle the way he did?
Well, because he saw in heaven.
Amen.
The true tabernacle. People think that the Old Testament was just done away and it's destroyed. No, it was fulfilled.
Amen.
So we don't bring sacrifice to God anymore. Yes, I do. I bring that blood of Christ every day of my life, and it's still there for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Let me. I know there's no scripture around there, but I wanted to read. Enjoy the word today. The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing. You see what I'm saying? Facts are not necessarily the very image of the thing. Partial realization of your experience is not what you need. It needs to
right.
be a perfect realization.
Amen.
Right.
If your experience is based on some sensation, that's not perfect realization. Then. If your experience is based on, well, I know the Bible said this, and I guess that's just the way it is. No, it needs to become real is what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
That scripture must become alive. You must see it. That's the difference between intellectual faith and real faith. Faith will produce.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
It's one thing to say, and that's why I said not hope. Hope is not faith. Jesus didn't go and say, well, I hope Lazarus will come out of there. We'll see if we pray long enough, maybe it'll work. Maybe if we fast long enough, it'll be all right. That's partial realization. You haven't got a revelation yet. That's not what Jesus ever acted like. He had a perfect revelation. You say, how do you know that? When he got there, he says, Father, I thank thee that I already know it's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't do this for my faith. I already believe this. I'm doing this for those around me that are still doubting. He said, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
Like how the prophet said it. That if you wouldn't have said Lazarus, every soul would have came out.
Amen.
Amen.
How do you prove that? I am the resurrection.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let me go down here. Since this word expresses perfect realization as against the idea of partial realization as illustrated in these verses, you can now understand as never before. Anti-type contrasted with type. You understand that? A type is just, you know, a shadow of something, but that's not where we're at in history, church. You don't need to live in types. The type needs to become real now.
Amen.
We are the anti-type to the entire
yeah.
Bible. We're what it was all pointing to. You know, God was revealed in Christ, and now the bride will be revealed out of Christ.
Amen.
That she was always a part of him. The church, the living eternal life was always in the children of God.
Amen.
We were just shackled. We had come in sin, shaped in iniquity, come out of them speaking lies. But there was always something on the inside that couldn't be satisfied.
Yes. Amen.
That when the word came, it wasn't like a Pharisee that sat there and reasoned with it and fought against it and things of that and had it all lined out the way it was supposed to be. It was someone just like the woman that came up. How many knows the story?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Since thou, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's grievously vexed. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And he says, I'm not sent to your people. Not only not your bunch of God. That's what the facts were. And most of us would have based our opinion on Jesus right there.
Right.
Well, bless God. If that's how he's going to treat me, then this ain't no Messiah anyhow. This ain't no God of love. I'm out of here.
Right.
And you'll do the same with the man of God that tears you up left side and right and gets the word. Gets all that darkness out of you and think that has something to do with that man, maybe it's you that needs to get right.
Amen.
Maybe it ain't that man doing it anyways. Maybe it's the Spirit of God trying to get a hold of you. And we wonder many times we go from here to here and the same thing keeps following us. Maybe you realize one of these days it was you.
Right.
No, that brother and this brother and that deacon over there. And then this, well, after a few tries, it might be time to look in the old mirror.
Amen.
Say, Lord, what's wrong with my heart?
Amen.
Amen. And I ain't putting nobody on no pedestal, nobody out in the dumps. We all got to do that.
Amen.
Paul, the greatest apostle, I say, hit the world. Said, I die daily.
Yes.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Yes.
She came up to Jesus. Let me even just read some of this story. It's at Matthew 15, if you want to leave it later, 21-28. It says this, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Well, I texted the pastor, and he never got back to me. I did, and I'm not just saying about me. I'm saying people's attitude around. You know, I think he ought to get back, and Jesus wasn't ignoring this woman.
Right.
Fact said he was. Truth was.
Right.
He was listening. To the text.
Yes.
He knew what was in her. He knew she wasn't. We think that God is just letting us go through this because he's just a big old man. No, he knows what he's put in you.
Yeah.
He knows you got faith to hold on. We say, well, why'd I get offended here? Why did this happen here? Maybe you've got enough faith that you'll come out the right way. You won't get all bitter. You won't get all upset.
Yeah.
You'll just say, God, whatever your will is, that's okay. I'm just going to keep up.
Right.
Hey, David the king, if anyone could have killed Shimei, it would have been him. Shimei, I can't remember, he walked out and rejected King. Shimei came up and said, you crippled, bloody man. Abishai pulled that sword out, that nice, useful believer, wasn't it? I will cut that dog's head off. Same man that said, I'll kill Saul with one strike. I won't have to do it twice. What did David say? He said, put your sword down. The Lord's ordered you to do that.
Right.
Now, that didn't mean it was good for Shimei. I hope you understand. It's just like Nebuchadnezzar. He said he was God's servant. That wasn't good for him. He was just a tool in God's hand that he needed.
Amen.
And Shimei was not doing something that pleased the Lord necessarily. He was tempting David.
That's it. Right there.
And it could show that David had no character.
Yeah. Amen. Help us, Lord.
Say the Lord let that happen.
Yeah.
David, no matter what, a man of character.
Yeah.
Even in the Old Testament, what a man of character.
Yeah.
A man that could have killed his adversary Saul many times. But because of his respect for truth.
Yeah.
Fact said Saul should be king. Truth said he was. Fact said he's ruthless, he's evil, he's got a demon spirit. True said he's the Lord's anointed anyhow. Don't touch him.
Amen.
Remember what happened to the man that said he ended up and he was gonna die anyhow, but he tried to give him a short death. How many remember that? Came up and killed Saul and he went to David expecting to get a prize. And he said, you know what's gonna happen? They tried to give me this when my other enemies died. You're done for.
Amen.
I killed him in my own spot. That's right. Amen. A little bit of a tangent, but I pray that speaks. And he answered her not a word. But his disciples came and saw him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. They ain't called to the Lord. They ain't got no hope in them. You don't know. It might be a fact, but it ain't truth yet.
Right.
All these disciples made a lot of mistakes. Isn't that right?
Right.
But they still were foreordained before the foundation of the world to be apostles of the Lord.
Amen.
Even doubting Thomas, isn't that right? Would there be no Brother Raja tonight without Brother Thomas?
Amen.
Going down to India.
Yeah.
In
the
word.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Never answered her in the first place. The disciples told her to get lost.
Then she said it one more time.
She said, truth, Lord.
You see the picture. Why? Her faith, she knew it was true. That whatever this man does, it doesn't matter. He's the Son of God.
Right.
It doesn't matter how much he tears me up, how much it seems like it's hopeless. He's the Son of God, and he will hear my heart's cry, and my daughter will be well today. That's what the truth was, and she knew it. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from my master's table.
Well, I wouldn't have no such man for my pastor. Would you have this man for yours? Or for your brother or for your friend? You see the respect? You see what faith really is?
Right.
Faith cannot be moved.
No.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus never even said it was his will. He never even said anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but your faith is so strong in this.
Yeah.
Let it be the way you said it'll be.
Yeah.
Why? Jesus knew who that woman was.
Yes.
The world thought, dog, this is some outcast, some renegade. The disciples thought that about her.
Right.
But he knew, no, this is the daughter of Abraham.
Amen.
And I could give her the same kind of test I did Abraham.
Right, amen.
Abraham, the facts. Look, he's 100 years old. You can't have no baby. You never even had one in your life. What are you talking about? Besides, at least with Sarah, you haven't. You might have ran out with Ishmael or Hagar, isn't that right? But as far as having anything through Sarah, no, sir, it's never happened. You've been married since little children. Never been able to have a child. The fact says she's 90. She's done past menopause. There's no chance even if it was before. But God doesn't, the
That's
truth
it.
Is different. God
That's
already
it.
Told Abraham, you're going to have a son.
Yeah, yeah.
And from the outside, the facts say Abraham staggered. The Bible says he did it.
Yeah.
The fact says Abraham doubted. The truth says he never did.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Isn't that right? He said
yeah.
He staggered not at the promise of God, giving God praise. Isn't
Hallelujah.
That right?
Yeah.
And he held on, and we know that Isaac was born, and then later on, he was given another test, wasn't he? Take your son, your only son.
Right.
You understand how God sees things? Fact says he has Ishmael as another son.
Right.
The truth said he only had one son.
Amen.
Because that was the son of the promise.
Yeah.
Right.
We think of what we've created in our sins. And the things we've done, we've done this, and we, you know, someone might have been married and divorced and things like that, or ruined our life here and there. We say, oh, I just made a mess of this. That's the facts. The truth is God already saw all these.
Amen.
Doesn't mean he wanted it just that way. We understand. I hope it didn't mean I ain't giving no license to go sin. But a Christian has to rest in the blood of Christ.
Amen.
If you don't, you will get nowhere.
Amen.
You will never do anything for God. You will be afraid. You will treat God like Zeus.
Right.
That if you move wrong, here comes the lightning bolt, you're dead. And you've got a fact that God would do that. But the truth is he loved you so much. That he took that punishment on himself.
Amen.
He says, I don't want Gabriel to come down to the universe. I'll come down to die myself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep reading here about the bread of life one more and I'll be done here. How we can understand as never before, anti-type contrasted with type and substance with shadow. Take an example now of manna from heaven. God set down angel bread from heaven for Israel, but that bread did not satisfy. It was only good for a day. Those who ate it were hungry again the next day. If it was left around, it became contaminated. But Jesus is the true bread from heaven, whereof manna was just a type. And if any man eats of that bread that came from heaven, he will never hunger again.
Amen.
He does not need to come back and eat again. See, that's what you have to understand.
is that when you've partaken of Christ and you and him have become one, and that day you'll know that I am in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me.
Right.
We don't need to keep getting resaved. You don't need to go, well, I got to do this again and do this again. No. If you're made of heaven, if that life's come in you, it's one and done.
Amen.
Why? This is an eternal bread. What does eternal mean? It never started. It never ends. It never fades. It never decreases in power. It never decreases in its life-giving substance. It is a piece of bread that you can eat, and it will always be in your stomach.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The moment he partook, listen now, he had eternal life. Here indeed was reality. No need any longer for a shadow. No need for partial salvation. A lot of people got partial salvation.
Right.
No. Here's the whole of it. Just like Jesus isn't a part of God, he is. Let's stand together. Yeah, I think you understand. Praise his name. Praise his name. Glory to God. It's just Jesus be his name. That's my first thing. Let's worship the Lord a little bit here after the preaching. I point to some factual thing. I went up to the altar. I gave my heart. That might not be truth yet. Truth is when it's on the inside. When that heart has been changed from a heart of stone, a heart of jealousy, a heart of selfishness, a heart of sin, been changed into a heart of gold, to the very life of Jesus Christ. A lot of people say they love the Lord. Just listen as we stay reverent. You ask them why they love him. Well, he takes care of me. He heals me when I'm sick. He saves me when I'm lost. That's not why we ought to love him. We ought to love him just because of who he is. Even if you did that to your wife, brother, you said, well, the only reason I love her is because she cooks supper, does the dishes, takes care of the house, and that's the only reason I love you. You'd be a poor excuse of a husband. Same with the wife. I just love him because he goes to work for me. He pays the bills, so I don't have to worry about it. And if that's the only reason you love him, that's not a healthy relationship. But if it's just because, there's just something about her. There's just something about him. I just love him for who they are. Glory to God. So I ask you, Christian, in this very reverent time here, if there's anyone here whose heart, you know your relationship with Christ is not what it needs to be, you lift your hands to him and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I've just based things on facts here and there, but the truth of it is I need a real love for you in my heart. To where I'm not ashamed of who you are. You don't have to bless me one more time, Lord, and I'm still going to stay with you because I'm in love. Though he slay me, Lord, I trust you. God bless each one. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God, give me your heart's desire today. Praise his glorious name. Praise his name. Let faith become reality this service. Praise his glorious name. I'm going to invite anyone that would have a need. It could be physical, spiritual. I believe in laying hands on the sick and they recover. I believe that if you was to agree on anything, Jesus promised he'd do it. If you'd like to come forward for prayer, I want to leave that open just here for a minute. In this atmosphere, the Holy Spirit's here. If there's any need, don't be ashamed, don't be scared. The Holy Spirit knows. If you don't come forward, that's fine. But be in prayer. So God get the glory. Don't let anyone stay shackled. Don't let someone stay sick. Christ paid a lot that we shouldn't be in shackles. He paid a lot that we shouldn't have sickness anymore. Pray with our sisters. You stay in prayer. Believe with God. God already believes. Let us believe as well. about everything else besides him right now. Oh, shut in with God in a secret. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're shut in with him right now. He gives each one of us his full attention. You'll give him yours. You spend a little time in there with him. In that holies of holies where only the high priest could go. Now we're allowed to go there. Go in that place. You talk with him. See, what do I say, Brother Andrew? You can start with, I love you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Hallelujah. Receive the glory in my life. But we're supposed to worship in spirit and in truth. That's both. Not just one or the other. I believe the truth is here. We can worship in the spirit. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. It's just a time to let the Holy Spirit have its way. This isn't a waste of time. This is why we're here. It's to worship our God. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for everything, Lord. I appreciate you, Lord Jesus. You're such a good God, Lord. You're taking my life and changing it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're so good. I trust in you. Thankful, God. That tomorrow, Lord, if they're going to come here, you honor and praise, Lord. Fade away for a little bit. Go in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm just burning, Brother Andrew. Doubt that burden. Believe God's word. That might be a fact. You might be burning. You might be sick. You might be tired. Those might be facts, but the truth is God's already delivered you. Glory to God. Act upon his word. But I feel caged. Put those hands up anyways. You're not a caged child of God. You're free. Glory to God. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise his name. Just have that attitude, Lord. If it's just crumbs, I don't care. Thank you anyhow. Thank you, Lord. Worthy Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his name.
Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. Let's sing that together. Give all the glory.
We'll give all the glory.
There he says, I have no greater joy. That's actually the next this third John. I have no greater joy but then to hear that my children are walking in truth.
Amen.
Are you glad you know what truth is now?
Yes.
The truth doesn't worry about surroundings. It worries about the word. What does the word say about my situation? That's what any man of God appreciates hearing.
Amen.
And I can hear that. Brother Kent's at work and he comes and I was able to testify to a man of the glory of God. I wasn't feeling good that day, but I didn't look to that. I looked to the truth. He says, you're my witnesses. Go into all the world and preach the
gospel.
Amen. Even sisters sometimes get discouraged. No, wherever you're at, spread the word of God. I think if there was more sisters there spreading the word to them little guys, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in here. I think we praise the Lord for that, that we've got women that serve the Lord. More men that would take care of women and children, I think we'd be better off too.
Amen.
You say, facts are, it's just too busy. We live here in, Laodicea, where you just do whatever you want. The truth is, no, I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Sodom stops at my door.
Yeah.
Right. Don't get inside.
Amen.
Just like Rahab there. Everybody else is going to crumble. I'm not.
Right.
Not just me either, but anyone I can convince that what I have is the true and living God, the true covenant of God, that true bloodline that came down and saved me. If I can just get them in here, they'll be there too.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. That did anything for you like it did to me. It just changed my thinking of many things that's happening in my life. Isn't that right? And how, your brother Branham said, the bride will have thus saith the Lord or do nothing at all. Now I get it. That makes absolute sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
If we act on little impressions and things, we only have a little bit. But if we know it's the word, that's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
He already said it.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Hallelujah.
When I see that come off the page into my life,
yes,
I can go with thus saith the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I won't keep you too long. Now, what you see? Somebody wants to be in heaven.
Amen.
How many is going to be there?
Amen.
See, how do I know that, brother? I'm already in heavenly places now.
Amen.
All I'm doing is getting a new body. Glory to God. Well, let's sing that. We'll worship the Lord here. And, you know, we got the fellowship and things. If you want to go to that, you're all welcome. Just go serve the Lord. Love Him with all your heart. And we'll see you next time. Lord willing. God bless you.